Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is June 30th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us each Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. Tonight we have a fantastic show for you with our guest, Dr. Patty Feierstein, and she's from New York, and she works with sex abuse survivors and also has a nonprofit organization to help teenagers recover through the devastating pain and to be able to get through that and move on with their life. And we'll let her tell us a little bit about that in just a few minutes. Let me welcome my co-host, Boyd, to the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we thank everyone who always tune in every Wednesday to our online radio show. And we thank Ms. Patty Feierstein for joining us tonight. So we ask that all you ladies, gentlemen, and everybody who's ready to open their ears up and learn about how these situations take place and how it can destroy lives. And she's here to tell you how you can overcome, recoup, and heal through these dramatic incidents that may occur in your life. So with that said and done, we're going to introduce Dr. Patty Feierstein, and we'll turn the mic over to her now and let her properly introduce herself. And I would like to just say welcome to the show, Ms. Feierstein.
Thank you very much. Most people that work with me just call me Dr. Patty. And I am a psychologist, and I am in New York City, and I've written a book called Invisible Girls, The Truth About Sexual Abuse, and we are in our second edition of the book, and it's helped thousands and thousands and thousands of girls and young women, and I'm here to say that you can heal from sexual abuse.
Right, exactly. And you've been working with girls for, you said, about 25 years?
Yes, I have been.
Awesome. I've seen a lot of remarks on your website of people thanking you for the book and for helping them to be able to heal their past. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really incredible. What's awesome are the girls. They're just amazing. And they're writing to me from all over the world, and they feel that they've got to move past what's happened to them, and they do, and they heal, and they thrive, and it's like Boyd said, it's just a way to recover, recoup, and have a great life. You don't have to have your life devastated and ruined if someone
right.
has sexually abused you.
Right. And you have, just tell us a little bit about your nonprofit organization called Girl Thrive?
Yes. Okay. Girl Thrive stands for Teen Girls Healing from Rape and Incest Victoriously Emerge. Girl Thrive. Well, we have a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that anyone that donates to Girl Thrive gets a tax-exempt receipt for that, and they can deduct it from their taxes. We are 100% volunteer organization, and 100% of any donation goes directly to a girl. And what Girl Thrive does is give stipends to teenage girls and young women in their 20s that have suffered incest. And a stipend could be anywhere from $300 to $500. And basically, there's an application, and a girl fills it out. And we have given stipends to girls for yoga classes, massage therapy, changing their last name from their abuser. One girl, we got her some health insurance so that she didn't have to have her incest father paying for health insurance. Another girl just got special dancing shoes. Another girl got singing lessons. Another girl got photography classes. So it's really about finding something in you that you love and that you feel passionate about that maybe you couldn't afford or maybe you didn't think you deserved it. So Girl Thrive will give stipends and scholarships to any girl who has suffered through incest and who wants to thrive. It's amazing. We're very excited. And we've given laptop computers and all kinds of amazing stipends coming out of this, where I really ask girls to tune into themselves and figure something out that they really, really want. And they do it, and it's wonderful. It's so beautiful.
And the girls, I mean, most of the people in my experience that have been abused have low self-esteem, and they feel that they don't deserve anything better than what they're getting. And, the first thing I guess that they really have to do is to be able to understand that it's not their fault and forgive themselves and understand that they do deserve the best.
Yes. Yeah, that's really true. And the other thing that Girl Thrive does is we donate invisible girls all over the world to rape crisis centers, shelters, and girls that write to me that have gone to the library and have taken the book out or have looked at it in the bookstore. Some girls can't even afford to buy the book, so I've sent it out to Kentucky. I've sent it over to Canada. I've sent it over to all over, you name it, to Michigan, to everywhere. So that's another thing that Girl Thrive does is we donate the book. And just sometimes a girl will get the book and say, I can't believe, Dr. Patty, you actually sent me this book, and you just sent it to me, and I'm reading it every night, and it's helping me so much, and it feels so personal because you sent it to me. So that's another thing that Girl Thrive does. But you're right. In the very beginning, when you start to reveal incest or other sex abuse, you will feel that it's your fault somehow, that you somehow asked for this to happen, that somehow you could have stopped it. But that's not reality. You didn't ask for it, and you couldn't stop it. And it's never the survivor's fault.
Right. I have a couple of statistics that I want to read, and then you can let me know if it's still correct or anything differently. One in four girls is sexually abused before the age of 18. And one in six boys is sexually abused before the age of 18.
Well, let me describe, and I really break it down in the book, too. It's definitely more than that, but that's what statistics are, because we don't really have very updated statistics. And as you know, incest is the biggest secret in our culture anyway, so we can't really document it. But when we say one in four girls or one in three girls has been sexually abused by the time she's 16, what that means is that could be anything from an uncle who puts his hand down a girl's dress one time at a family event and she screams at him and tells him never do that again, and she actually gets a lot of support and gets through it, to another girl whose father could be raping her for 10 years. So it's a wide range as far as what the sexual abuse is. So we don't mean that one in three girls has been raped several times from her father. We mean that one in three girls will be sexually violated by the time she is 16 in some way. And that is definitely, I would say one in two. If you're going to call sexual abuse or sexual violation, just having, when your girls come to see me for a session and they've been on the subway and someone puts their hand on their butt or something, and it's disgusting, and that's sexual violation. So, yeah, and as far as boys, our culture is so into machismo, as you all know, because you're working with people recovering from gangs, that anything that has to do with a boy being sexually abused, no one's talking about that. No one wants to talk about that. And also homosexuality is so shunned, so no one is going to talk about that. What we can say is that sexual violation is most common from men violating boys, girls, women. The statistics are very profound that it is mostly men who abuse. So we have to be really clear about that.
Right. And then there's also a statistic that shows that children that have been abused or sexually abused are more likely to turn to alcohol, drugs, maybe even gangs or other organizations that may not be so good for them.
Yeah, well, I think that when you hate yourself because you're blaming yourself and you feel so ashamed, you will turn to something to ease that shame and that self-hatred. And it could be anything that you're mentioning, absolutely. But what I find is that, and what I really work with is that inner strength. I think that you can't even imagine some of the things these girls have been through, and they're amazing. They're fabulous because they've pushed forward and they've made that decision that they are going, well, you know, a lot of incest survivors are the top students, top athletes, top scholars, because they will do everything and anything to get their mind off what's going on at home and to stay away from home.
Right, and to prove that they are worth something.
Well, to tell you the truth, it's not really that. I mean, they're not trying to prove anything to themselves even. They're just trying to keep busy and to keep their minds engaged and their brains engaged. It would be wonderful if a girl could say, you know, I really want to prove myself that I was really smart or I was a great athlete. But that's not what I hear. I hear from hundreds of girls, I just had to run as fast as I could. I had to sing as much as I could in the choir. I had to run the debate team. I had to do everything I could to stay out of my freaking house. I didn't want to be there. I knew I was going to get molested. So, yeah.
Just to keep busy then.
Yes, to keep busy, to keep occupied, to keep out of reality.
And, of course, if it is somebody in your home, to, like you said, to spend as much time away from there as possible.
That's right. Exactly. And, yeah, the secondary gain is that they do get a great skill. And when they heal, they can feel that skill. They feel it much more, like what you're saying about feeling proud of yourself. I'm working with a girl who's a dancer, and she just did it to do it because she had to be busy. And now that she's healing, she's really being in touch with her body while she dances, and she feels this elation while she's moving, where she didn't before because she was just doing
it. And before she was probably just kind of numb, I think.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Kind of masking that pain.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
And do you have a crisis line, I believe, as well, where girls can call in and talk to you?
No, I don't have a crisis line where they can talk to me, but it's my email address and they write to me. Yeah.
Oh.
They're talking to me now on your show, hopefully, because I put it on my Facebook and I let everybody know they can talk now on the phone. But as far as a crisis line, it absolutely is a crisis line. It's just not on the phone. But they email me and they blog, and I answer personally every email from every girl that writes to me.
Yeah, I do. I have seen a lot of girls talking to you on there and thanking you for your help. So it's definitely reaching out and working. And we do have a caller on the line, and her name is Miranda, and we're going to give her the opportunity to ask you a question, or if she has a comment, or if she just wants to continue listening for a little while, that's okay too.
Okay,
but we're going to welcome Miranda to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Hi, Miranda.
Hi.
I think we have Dr. Patty on the line, and I know you've been listening. So if you'd like to ask her a question, or if you have a comment, or if you just want to listen for a little bit longer, that's also okay too. Just let us know what you want to do.
First of all, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you again for everything. And I'm speaking for all the girls right now, I'm sure. But you've just done so much, and honestly, like, the book's on my nightstand, and it's like a Bible to me, and just thank you so much.
Is this the Miranda that I know?
Yeah.
Hi.
How are
you? That's so nice for you to call. That's great.
Yeah, I just got on Facebook.
All right. Well, if you got on Facebook, I'm glad that you saw Lucinda's note because I posted it with the wrong number, so I took my little announcement off, which I did right before the show. Can we talk about your box?
Absolutely.
Okay. Miranda is an extraordinary young woman, and we met through the book and by Miranda reaching out to me, and that's how we met. But she's done something amazing, which would be so great for all your listeners to hear about and all the girls that are listening to hear about this because it's incredible. And it would be best, Miranda, if you don't mind, if you could explain your box, what you've done.
Yeah, definitely. Right. While I was in treatment, things weren't going fast enough for me and just kind of slow paced. They were doing medications and all this stuff. And I really wanted to find out for myself, like, what was going to help me to heal. And I stumbled upon the book, and then it started bringing up things, and I'm like, hey, you know what? And I just sat down, and I love art, so I kind of just created this little box that I kept everything in, and each time that I thought, like, I had those bad thoughts, flashbacks, anything, I kept little, like, scents that got me comfort, quotes, pictures of family members or people that support me and love me, and I just, like, would read through these quotes, Bible verses, look at the pictures, and before I would do anything that would, I would later regret, self-harm, overdosing, that kind of stuff, when I was really, really deep into either I have to tell or I have to die. Like, that's what I thought it was going to come down to. But so that helped me, like, through all of those urges and through the depression and, I don't know, kind of just like an extra reminder every time I was going to feel like I was going to act on something, I made myself go through each card, each thing and everything just to, and if I wasn't calmed down and feeling like okay at the end, then something was missing from the box and I would need to work on it and add it to the box kind of thing.
That's an awesome idea.
Well, and each saying that Miranda put out for the box is a piece of art. Each saying was crafted with special letters, or it was a collage, or Miranda would put sparkles on the sayings, or there would be beautiful cutouts of fabric. Every single saying was a piece of art. So it wasn't just using the part of your brain where you're writing poetry, but it's also using the part of your brain that's visual with color and shape and form and art.
And it sounds like it was a lot of positive affirmations also from people that love you. And
yeah.
Is that correct too?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And just like
that's
lots
awesome.
Of strength.
And then what you've done with the box, Miranda.
What was that?
Tell what you've done with the box, with the groups and with other girls.
I was in a local, like, group, therapy group for abuse survivors. It was through, like, the government, kind of going through court stuff, and just a group of girls that I met, and I taught them all about the box, and then they would go on and teach their schools about the box, other friends, family, and it just kind of spread like the book did, and hopefully it will spread further, especially after tonight. And I sent Dr. Patty one. And
I sent her
the rest of the cards. I've been making more. But, yeah, and I've sent them to treatment.
Go ahead.
It's not, like, super tiny, but it's not bigger than a shoebox. It's, like,
the perfect size. It's a perfect size.
Yeah. Right.
And it's beautiful. And Miranda did make me a box, which I just couldn't believe. And when I show people, I spill out all of these beautifully made, handcrafted sayings. And everyone I show it to is just like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. This is so awesome. And then I've brought the box to many groups that I've done with girls, and then they've made their own boxes. I've told teachers about the box, and teachers who are just working with middle school girls, and they basically are just, you know, your average, whatever, middle school girls, and there's nothing going on in their lives, particularly about abuse, that anyone knows about, but the teachers are doing that for self-esteem groups with these girls.
Right.
And then I went to Baltimore, and we talked about the box, and I showed all the girls the box. I did a group with something called Queendom, which you all should look up because it's a wonderful group, and it's Lakeisha Hall, who runs Queendom. I'll take a minute to talk about that because it's pretty amazing. Lakeisha was entering beauty contests, and she won Mrs. Maryland, beauty queen. And she said, great, now I'm going to talk about incest. That was why she wanted to win a beauty contest, because she wanted to show that you can be a beautiful woman externally and have internal trauma like this. So she has a group in her school, she's a teacher, called Queendom. And I went over there and I brought Miranda's box, and all the girls, there were like 24 girls, and they all picked different sayings and they read them out loud and they loved it, and they're going to make a box. So your box, Miranda, is getting worldwide attention, and it's just such a brilliant, brilliant theory. It's just amazing.
That's so good to hear. That's awesome.
You'll have to name it the Miranda box.
Absolutely. It's the Miranda box.
Miranda box.
Yeah.
Gotta have one.
Yeah, it's
That's
great.
Awesome. We do have another caller on the line. We're going to leave you on with this, Miranda, and we're going to answer this other caller. And
okay.
Welcome her
awesome.
To the show. Hi, we'd like to welcome you to the Streets Don't Love You Back show here. Our guest is Dr. Patty. Who was on the line?
Me.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Oh, hi. I didn't know whether or not it was me or not. My name is Jane, and I highly doubt you guys were expecting a male caller.
Well, you know, we welcome male callers, too.
Yeah, glad to hear it.
Definitely.
Hi, Dr. Patty.
Hi, James.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Glad to hear it. Well, I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to call and actually say that, Dr. Patty, even though most of your work, you know, I just want to let everybody out there know that most of Dr. Patty's work has been focused around girls who were survivors. I really also wanted to point out how much your book helped me and influenced me as a male. And even though I have never been a victim of sexual abuse or sexual violence, lots of people in my life have, including my current girlfriend. And Dr. Patty and her work has actually been a huge help to us and in our relationship. And so, ma'am, I just wanted the opportunity, since I found out you were going to be on the talk show tonight, to give a very personal thank you and show my appreciation, because I don't think my life would be the same without you. Even
wow.
though you don't know it.
That's fabulous, because it is really important for guys to read this book. It is so important because it takes you inside of what a girl goes through on every level, you know, what she goes through with her family, with her school, with her feelings internally, with how she looks externally, with the special worlds that girls create. And so you're saying, James, by reading this also, it really helped you to understand your girlfriend.
Absolutely. Because for me personally, it was, I was supportive as I possibly could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I did everything that I knew what to do to help her through and be there for as much as possibly could. But a couple things that I experienced dealing with this is mainly what I experienced was not understanding what was going on, and
when you say not understanding what was going on, like from what kind of behavior did you not understand?
Well, I mean, I couldn't understand what. I mean, obviously, I knew that my girlfriend had been hurt, and she was working through that, but it was an extreme sense of frustration for me, not because of her, but because I saw this pain and I saw this hurt. Mm. And one of the questions that keep popping up in my mind is, how does this happen? I never questioned her. I never kind of fell into the trap of how did you let this happen? I never did that. Victim blaming. But I said, how does society let this happen? How do what is this like? What are the dynamics? What she go through? At the same time, I wanted to know, but I didn't want to know. You know, it's like I didn't want to hear about such evil, about such pain caused to somebody I love so much. So reading your book was a way of kind of coming to an understanding of what was going on, what could have been, or similarities of what was going on in her mind and in her family. And there were just so many, from the little that I know of her situation, there are so many mirrors, there are so many similarities between the stories that I've heard in Invisible Girls and the stories I heard in my girlfriend's life. And it was just so, and then I could realize, I could understand on a deeper level. Obviously, I'm never going to fully understand, but I could, it could really touch me. And I don't know how else to explain it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because you start to feel like this is, and this would go also for someone who's a friend of someone who's been molested, and they just don't get it because they're, you know, this is a great girl and they don't understand how did this happen, and this must be isolated. She must be the only one that's gone through something like this. Mm-hmm. And then you open up Invisible Girls and there's one story after another story after another story, and they're all different, but they're all the same. They're all different stories, but what's the same in these stories is that for some unspeakable reason, someone thought, a father, an uncle, a brother, a cousin, a teacher, a coach, a priest, a rabbi, they all thought that they could sexually abuse a girl. They all just did it. They just did it. They took something and they did it. And these girls couldn't say no, and they couldn't stop them. And you read about these girls and how smart they are and how amazing they are and how deep their pain goes, and then you realize these are the invisible girls. These are the girls that this happens to, and you don't know it from the outside. And so, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, that that helped you to also, it's like, unfortunately, it normalizes it to a level. And that's unfortunate because we never want sex abuse to be normal, but it normalizes what your girlfriend is going through. She's not the only one that goes through that. Guys have a really hard time sometimes accepting it and not personalizing it. Mm-hmm. And they have to, you know, you, James, and other guys have to understand, and also if you're lesbian, girlfriends of girls have to understand that it takes time and it takes patience to remap experience. And you have to remap experiences. In other words, in the book, I talk about a girl whose father used to molest her in the bathtub all the time. That was his space. And after she got out of her home and she was terrified to go in a bath, she never would sit in the bath. She'd always take a shower really quickly. And then she decided she was going to remap that experience. And she lights candles and has incense and puts on her favorite music. And now she loves taking a bath. She's remapping it. So when you're in a relationship with someone who's been through this, you have to be patient with them. And you become a part of the remapping. become a part of the reclaiming of the experience in a positive way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And something I would like to point out, you recommend a book specifically for partners.
Mm-hmm.
In your book, you recommend a book by Laura Davis,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Partners in Healing, I believe.
Yes.
And I flipped through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally just reading. I was just reading the passage, and I would really like to throw this out there for all the people who are partners mm-hmm. of sexual abuse survivors.
Sure.
Laura Davis points out in her book, and you do this to a great extent as well, that invisible girls out there, once they've gone through the process of their healing, that they can be the most exciting, the most warm, the most energetic people on the face of the planet, that they have a completely new perspective on life. And so for people out there who are in the midst right now of dealing with the abuse and going through the healing and the remapping, which I have to say can be an extremely painful experience, don't give up too quick, because if I had given up, I wouldn't be around for all the wonderful, wonderful things that I'm continuing to see. I wouldn't be around for this wonderful,
That's
beautiful
right.
person who just blows my mind every day with how amazing she is. So hopefully I'll be around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So to everybody out there, hold on. Trust me, it's worth it.
Oh, that's great. That's a beautiful way to put it. That's
well, thanks,
great.
Ma'am. Thank you
thank
for
you.
Everything.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank everybody.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, and Miranda. I mean, all of you guys. You're pretty amazing.
Definitely. And I just want to say we've been having a great, great show tonight with Dr. Patty. And I just want to iterate, Mr. James, it was very nice for you to call in and learning a little bit more about your missus, who you was really trying to find out what made her angry, what made her feel this way, and why did this situation get caused. So that's a great thing that men is getting involved with trying to see what's going on. And I just want to iterate, I got deep involved with abuse and different things like that as well and stepped up to the plate. And I have a book coming out next month entitled Never Hit a Woman. Because I
oh, good. Good title. Good title.
Oh, thank
mm-hmm.
you, Dr. Patty. I just got
Sorry,
tired
I get very
of,
excited.
Yeah, I just got tired of always looking at the news and when the courts say the man has rights. Okay, yeah, we all have rights. But if a judge have paperwork in front of him showing that this man has truly abused his wife, girlfriend, or what have you, baby's mama, and head half bust off, and you still talking about the child can go with the man, well, I got just tired of they saying, okay, we're going to just let the child go with the guy unsupervised, and then next thing you know, the child end up dead, the woman end up dead, then he kills himself. Well, that is preposterous, because I think judges need to be held accountable now for their mistakes, because they're not God. You're just a man that went to school to be a judge, just like a man goes to play baseball or basketball, you know? But you cannot ignore when the paperwork is in your face about this abuse and this killing and making bad decisions on a woman and her child's life. If you're going to let a man see his child and you know this man is doing bad things to the child or the woman, this man needs to be supervised with supervision around him and not letting the child go by himself. So I've stepped up to the plate as a man to make this awareness across the country as well.
I think that's really great. I have a section in my revised edition in the index, in the resource sense, section about the organizations that men are involved with, and I also put a caution in there because There is an organization, there's a bunch of organizations, and there's a couple of books. And I just have to say, though, that when I read the book of, I'm looking in the back here now to find it, Mr. Katz, I don't remember his first name, but he wrote a, I'm sorry, do you know who I'm talking about?
Jackson Katz.
Yeah. So I have his book in the back here, but there was, and I put a caution in because he had a section on pornography, and I read some of it, and I felt totally violated. I mean, it was beyond traumatic to read this, and so I put his book in my resource section with a caution for all women not to read that chapter because it was very insensitive for him to put out a book which is directed not only to men but to women and also to men that are abusers and to have this disgusting, abusive, pornographic detail on what the porno industry is. It should have been a separate something. So I'm sure that your book doesn't do that, which is great because it's really important to know that people get triggered all the time with what they read. And this was something that I didn't want to read. So I just think it's great that you're putting your book out there.
Yes, it's definitely a red alert for the Never Hit a Woman book. I wrote the book, and my wife, she edits my books, and she proofreads everything before it gets sent out to the printer. And we just want to make not only men but women aware that you do not have to stay in an abusive relationship. You do not have to keep lingering around no 1 year, no 5 or 10 or 20 years with a man that's just studied taking your dignity and beating you and abusing you. Now your child grow up if you ain't dead before long. And he thinks that's the right way, or she thinks that's the right way. Yeah. So my book is to try to break this ball and chain among our women and men out here that's all into abusing and hiding the abuse as well, you know?
Well, you know, it's very interesting what you're saying because the reason that I wrote my book, and I talk about this in the beginning, is because I kept getting in these women in their 30s and their 40s and their 50s who were in domestic violent relationships, who were being abused, and they were incest survivors, and they were abuse survivors, and they kept choosing these bad men. And then I would get these teenage girls in my practice, and they were ready to heal, and they were resilient. So I realized that if you talk about your abuse when you're younger, you're going to heal. And when you're talking about hiding the abuse, one of my clients that was very inspirational for me to write the book was a woman in her 30s who was married to a corrections officer from Rikers Island. And he used to bash her head on the floor and do it in a way which her hair would cover it so that it wouldn't show. And then when she called the police a couple of times, they came and he said whatever the cops say to each other, which is, I'm on the job, which meant he's a cop, and they left. And so when, you know what I'm talking about. So this kind of abuse could be perpetuated in the women if you talk to these women who are in these ball and chain relationships, you're going to find that many of them have unresolved issues of their own abuse. And that's why girls need to come out and talk and talk and talk and express themselves. And I say in the book,
very young age.
It's very young. Most of the girls come to me by the time that they are 18 and they're out of their homes because they can.
Right.
Because in incest, mothers are the rejectors of the girls, and girls won't tell because they can't bear to be rejected.
Well, a lot of
rejected.
Mothers be in denial. A lot of the mothers be in denial that this is going on. And then you got some mothers that know exactly what's going on turn their head. So it's just a whole bunch go along with the abuse syndrome towards a woman or a young kid, you know.
Yeah.
And
we
appreciate your book definitely because it opens up young women, young men's eyes, and it lets them know the depth of what's happening nowadays. And I think we as men, you know, we must stand up for this abuse and against this abuse because we have to realize we come from a woman. our mother is a woman, you know?
That's right.
And we might have a sister or an auntie or cousin. So we as men, we have to stand up for that nowadays and stop always trying to be that macho and controlling guy and be that guy that's understanding and want to build something and build a foundation. Because once you hit a woman, ain't nothing ever the same. I don't care who you is, you know? Because they tell the same two lies all the time. And the first lie they tell, oh, I'm sorry. And then the second lie they tell, oh, that won't happen again. So them the two biggest lies in American history.
Right. But you want to hear something really interesting? Incest fathers don't say that. Incest fathers don't say, number one, I'm sorry. And they don't say, it will never happen again. On the contrary, they say, I'm teaching you, and this is what we're going to do, and it's our secret, and when we do this,
nobody
when
else knows.
Happens, right? We're not going to tell anyone, and it's very different than the whole cycle of domestic violence in that way. It's incest. It's about
he
coercion.
He wants to keep the daughter to himself and not let her be with no other man. That's his
gimmick. Yeah, and that this, in my book I talk about, well, I have the quote in the beginning, which is just this amazing quote. This incest father, when his 13-year-old daughter was crying, and she said, why are you doing this to me? And he said, what do you mean, why? That's like asking a hungry man why you put a plate of spaghetti in front of him. He's going to eat it.
All day long, you know, and ask for extra sauce at that.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Miranda, what do you, I wanted to ask Miranda, what do you feel has been something for you in your life after being through trauma that's really helped you to move forward? Because you could say how old you are at this point.
I am 17 now, and this all started when I was 14 and went on for a little bit over a year.
Right. So I would prefer you don't even tell what happened to you, but I was just curious to know, because that's your life, and that's we're on the radio. But what I would like to know is what you feel has really helped you the most in your healing. And I guess to other girls out there, what has also really helped you when you felt like you couldn't heal? What's your inner strength? What are some of the things?
There's so many that I can think of now, but
well, you say that you have some supportive family, right?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's better now than it was right away. Like the whole reaction thing was not a good sight, but I do have a lot of supportive people in my life, and the people who they definitely believed in me when I was, like, too weak to believe in myself. And
That's so important, what you just said, that they believed in you when you were too weak to believe in yourself. Wow.
Right. Yeah, I have that written on one of my journals.
That's really profound. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what activities... What activities and things were you involved in school and stuff?
Actually, grades were awful because of everything. I was just obsessing and trying to be perfecting and homework. I would know how to do it, and I would just perfect it because I wanted some control in my life. And
school just went
down the drain. And I really kind of just like tapped into my creativity and did art and expressed anger with art and anger, sadness, everything can just blend together, and it kind of just shows you how all of that all those ugly feelings and horrible things can really make a beautiful piece of art in the end, like when you're done.
So expressing yourself, turning to your friends and your support system, even though school was going down, perfecting your homework, using your brain, focusing on things. How about anything physical? Did you do anything physical?
I tried to, but I had many issues with restraining orders and like working.
Okay, well, what about in your room, like jumping around in your room or something, or dancing to music in your room, or stretching, or anything, or maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Just like running on machines and stuff, and while listening to music, and yeah, just kind of
great.
Getting active. I love yoga and Pilates and all that too.
That's well, there you go. That's physical. Yeah. That's very physical.
Yeah.
Typical overachiever. Okay, no, Dr. Patty, I didn't do anything. Well, actually, yoga, Pilates.
Yeah, and those are really relaxing as well.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. So you basically dig in and figure out how to go on, right?
Definitely.
Mhm.
Well, being an artist like you are too, you're able to put your emotions and feelings on paper and a picture and you know, express it that way. So that's awesome too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
Dr. Patty, what can you tell the audience about post-traumatic stress disorder?
Okay. Post-traumatic stress. Basically, after you've been through a trauma, you may not be able to deal with some things, but it may not show up right away. Just as soldiers coming back from wars, it may not show up immediately. But if you're suffering from post-trauma, what that means is that after a trauma, you can be triggered and you can relive the trauma sometimes. And that was what James was talking about when he was talking about his girlfriend sometimes would get really distant and sad, and he didn't understand that. Well, when you're triggered and you relive something horrible, you relive it, and you feel it, and you feel it in your bones, and you feel it in your body, and you feel traumatized over again. Another thing that can happen mostly to my girls, my incest survivors, is that they really can't sleep because they have been molested during the time that they would go to bed, that their fathers or stepfathers would come into their rooms. So that's another sign of post-traumatic stress, is a lack of sleep, nightmares, things like that. But what Miranda's talking about with the yoga, that's really helpful. Breathing is really helpful. Talking is really helpful. And you can certainly get past post-traumatic stress. I mean, you can, and you do. But it just takes a while. But again, when you're young, it doesn't take that long, because you're young and you're resilient.
Right. You're open to suggestions and different ways of healing, I imagine.
I wanted to read something from the book that I think is really very universal, but also extraordinary. Is that okay? Can I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have a chapter called Girl's Genius. And it's pretty much my favorite chapter, because what I do is I go inside of a girl where she is, where she transports herself during being raped, basically. And when we started the program and we're talking about how it's unspeakable and how it's so common, well, how do you get through it, right? It's kind of amazing.
Right.
So this chapter on Girl's Genius goes into the fantasy world of two of my clients, and I'm just going to read a little part, just a paragraph. But this is part of the special world that this particular girl went to, and this is her voice, okay? And it says, in my world, and this is, by the way, this is during the molestation. This is where she is while she is being molested. In my world, I could predict the weather. I knew what people were thinking before they did. I was all powerful. I was able to take care of myself and anyone else who needed my help. I also created this school in my mind, and that's where most of the fantasies took place. I worked in the school. I ran it behind the scenes. There were other teachers and students, all of whom had names and personalities. There were classrooms and assemblies in the auditorium and everything. Whenever a child needed help, if they were hurt or they were hungry, they were sent to me. I helped them. I brought them back to health. I entertained them. I made them happy. As I got older, the stories I made up became more elaborate. My powers grew. Sometimes I would be called away from the school because I would be needed somewhere in the world. If there were cornfields on fire in Mexico, I would be called there, and I would fly, and I would put out the fires. I would put up tents for the people who were displaced, and I would arrange for airplanes to drop food and water. I would rebuild their fire-ravaged towns and cities, and then I would go on to my next adventure. People were always thanking me and telling me how much they loved me and they appreciated me, and this made me feel really good inside. I got ideas from places I saw on TV or places I was. For instance, the school had a large wooden spiral staircase with ornate carvings of cherubs, just like the one I had seen at a mansion we visited on a field trip. The wood was maple. It smelled like the outdoors. The floors were shiny marble and hairline designs of deep black. I could imagine the sound of the children's footsteps on the marble. There were paintings on the ceiling. The paintings were like Michelangelo's of beautiful muscular bodies. I memorized the bone structure of one of the figures in the paintings on the ceiling, and sometimes I could imagine how some of the people in my world walked or ran. I imagined them running in slow motion. I saw the hair on their heads move with the breeze. I would picture the minute details of their expressions. And I lived in this fantasy world much of the time, but I could bring myself back to reality when I had to. Okay, so that detail, you almost get in a dream state, right? When you're picturing all of those details.
Right. And very way out there. I mean, it was just totally, she was really somewhere else.
That's right. That's right. That's how girls survive. That's how children, young women, young men, that's how they survive.
Wow. And how, I mean, in looking and researching a few things, a lot of children are molested or raped or violated at a very young age. You know, sometimes 7, 8, 9. I mean, we know that it happens even younger, but what's the average age that you're familiar with?
Well, a very popular time is prepubescent girls, 12 to 14 years old, and it's also the most destructive. It's not as destructive when you're 4, 5, 6, 7, because you cognitively are at a different level. And it's terrible, of course. It's horrifying. But it's also not part of your sexuality. It's not part of your reality because you aren't sexual yet. When you are prepubescent and when you are becoming sexual and you're going through puberty, that's when you're the most vulnerable regarding your sexuality. So when girls are molested during that age period of 13 to 16, that's when it really kind of screws up their whole system of what is sexual, what is sensuous, what is acceptable, what is violation. I mean, it's very, very confusing, and it is a very popular time for girls to be molested. And I talk in the book about the Lolita complex because it really makes me sick that this film has been made 3 times and that girls are still blamed because they want to wear cute little shorts. They want to dress sweetly or even provocatively. They like it. They're coming into their own. They like their bodies. That does not mean that they want to be raped. And it also doesn't mean that they want some 50-year-old man to be attracted to them. So there's that whole piece of the Lolita complex, which makes me crazy. But, yeah, that's also, that's out there, too.
Right. So we have a few more minutes, Dr. Patty. What can you tell the listeners out there, maybe someone that has been molested and hasn't been able to tell anyone about
okay.
it yet?
Okay. If you're afraid to tell because you feel that you're going to be rejected by your family and you're a teenage girl, it's possible that you are right and that you will be rejected by your family and that that's too hard to bear. So what I suggest you do is go online, call a hotline, and talk to someone. They won't know your name. They won't be able to report anything. They won't trace a phone call. That's illegal. They can't do that. You can go to the website of RAINN, R-A-I-N-N, and they have a 24-hour hotline. You can look in your state, and you can find a hotline. You can keep a diary if you're worried your parents are going to read it. Rip up what you write after you write it, but purge. Get it out somehow. Get out this experience. If you're not safe now and you can't get out until you can get out of your house because you graduate high school or you're going to go to college or get a job, then try to stay out of your house as much as possible. And if you feel that if you told there might be one relative that would take you in, tell. If you know that there's no one out there for you, then I'm not going to tell you, then go ahead and tell. Because girls know when and how they can tell someone. But you need to express it. You need to be able to write about it and talk about it somehow. You can come onto our blog at Girl Thrive, and girls are blogging all the time, and sometimes girls are blogging, and then they tell because other girls are supporting them. So I think the most important thing for you to know if you're being hurt is, as Lucinda said in the beginning of the show, it's never your fault. Never. This is black and white, yes and no, up and down, on and off, clear. It is never, ever the survivor's fault. Sexual abuse is never the survivor's fault. Never. So you need to know that. And you also need to know that you will thrive and you will grow and you will have an amazing life. You do not have to have sexual abuse destroy your life.
That's right. There's always help, and you know, like Dr. Patty said, there's a lot of hotlines out there that you can call. You can get on Dr. Patty's website and email her. On our website, we have some resource pages, so you can find the RAINN numbers on there as well, and some other resources also. So the resources are there, and it's, like Dr. Patty said, you know when you can tell and when you can't. But
right.
A lot of times by, talking about it, getting those emotions out and sharing it or writing it or, beating your pillow to death, talking to the person that you really wish you could talk to.
Yeah.
There's several things, but by doing that, you're able to kind of heal and get through that.
Mm-hmm. True.
So any last words you would like to share, Dr. Patty?
Yeah, girls are amazing. They're righteous. They're beautiful. They're strong. They're brilliant. They're gorgeous. They're fantastic. And the sexually abused girls that I know, and I know hundreds of them, are just the most extraordinary and the most courageous and the most able to navigate life, because they have been to the abyss and they've been out and they've come out of it. And
right.
So when you heal from sexual abuse, you are just so, so strong and so clear. And also, so many incest survivors are the most wonderful mothers because they have been through it and they've healed. And these are the girls that I'm talking about that have healed and that are protective. And they're amazing mothers, And you know what you feel? You feel like you could do anything. Because if you can get through that, you're going to do anything.
Right, definitely. And for the girls out there that feel that they you know, don't have any support and that they're not good enough, you know, you are. So,
yes.
You know, get help and you know, stay away from the destructive patterns of life and just, you know, try to be around somebody positive, somebody that can help you get through it and help you, you know, become that great person that you are and that you really should be.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask Miranda if, you know, Miranda, do you have any comments maybe for the listeners out here? If you want a Miranda box, Dr. Patty can hook you up with Miranda.
Yeah, definitely.
That's an awesome thing. You know,
yeah. But Miranda, don't you also believe that too, from the girls from your groups too, that once you can get through this, you come out so much stronger?
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Well, we wish you a lot of success, Miranda, and, you know, good luck with your Miranda box. It sounds like an awesome, awesome tool, you know, that will be used forever and ever. So keep sharing that and keep helping other girls on your road to, I guess, recovery or, I don't know.
Thriving.
Thriving.
There you go.
Yeah, just hold your head up, Miranda, and, you know, you can do anything you want to do in this world. Nobody can stop you, and I'm proud of you for doing, you know, what you've done and coming through it, and, you know, proud of you for being able to share what you're doing with others, because that's a great accomplishment. It really is.
Thank you very much.
Yay, Miranda!
And, Miranda, if you want to tell your friends or anybody, if anybody wants to listen to this show tonight, they can log on to our website. And the website is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And there's our little radio section on there, or you can go to our radio page. And any of our shows that we do, you can listen, go back and listen to them anytime, 24/7. So, and we do have a show every Wednesday night, different topics, and we welcome our, you know, listeners to call in and talk with us or just get online and listen to it. So we are about to close tonight. I just have one announcement, and we have a book signing for the book, The Streets Don't Love You Back, and that's in Phoenix, Arizona, Saturday, July 3rd, from noon to 4 p.m., and that is at Bent Cover Books. And if you'd like to look that up online, that's bentcoverbooks.com. And we'll be out there and then be celebrating 4th of July. So happy 4th of July to everyone. And I'll let Rob give his last announcements. And I want to thank everyone for listening and for calling in. And thank James for calling in. He kind of got offline a little bit ago. But thank him for calling in and giving us his thoughts.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Dr. Patty for coming on the show tonight. And expressing the Invisible Girls, and it was a great, great show tonight, and you made some great points as well. And Miranda, thank you for coming online, and we're definitely going to promote that Miranda's box for young girls and older girls as well.
Yeah.
Can get some of the taste of that love, you know what I mean? Because once again, you got not just young women, you got old women that get caught up in the game too. And deals with that 20, 30 years before they even break down and come out and tell their story. So it ain't always because you're looking good on the outside that you're doing good on the inside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we must keep that in the forefront of our life, you know. And I would just like to say, Dr. Patty, when the book come out, Never Hit a Woman, I would definitely like to start speaking up there in New York as well. And me and my wife would love to meet you in person. And I would love to get some speakings up there in New York and expressing my views as well with your organization.
Great.
All right. With that said and done, we thank you very much. And I'm going to pass it back over to the wifey. And everybody, much love. Stay up, Dr. Patty, Miranda, and keep doing great work across America.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to end the show tonight with the song In Need of a Change by LD out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And we just like to invite everyone that's listening to log on to our website, and you can join our website as friends, and you'll get all of our emails and updates, and you'll be able to have your own profile on there, and you can add videos, blogs, and information, and spread your word a little bit as well. So we'd like to see everyone there, and that again is the Streets Don't Love You Back .ning.com. And join us next Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific time, 11:30 Eastern time. And have a great week, and we will see you next Wednesday night.
Yeah. LD. You know, far too often, we look back in hindsight and wish, say, I wish I just had one more chance.
Jealous of others. Do for your damn self.